The silent majority needs a voice. The good news is Gruber is ready to go. Here's Steve.
All right, welcome back to it on a Friday, and it's good Friday to have you here. You want to drop me a note, go to stevegruber.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just don't follow me around in your car, because that's creepy. We don't want any of that. My next guest here, James Taylor. No, not that one. Come on now. James Taylor, president of the Spark of Freedom Foundation, a senior fellow at the Energy Policy, that is, at the Heartland Institute. James, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Always good to have you here. So the headline here, global warming creates desperate media lies. That's from the Heartland Institute. Why do you say that? Why? I mean, I think you're probably right, but please help me out.
Well, this was an instance where the New York Times is trying to turn an issue on its head and use it against conservatives. And basically what they're claiming is that the reason we have illegal immigrants looking to cross into this country is because of global warming. And the rationale is just plain ridiculous. So the New York Times writes this article in which its author, quoting anonymous sources, doesn't give any names or anything that can be verified, but says that it's because of a failing coffee crop, people from Central America are having to flee from Guatemala in particular, but throughout Central America, because they simply can't make ends meet anymore. They can't feed their family because of a failing coffee crop. Then they also cite, again, anonymous people, this time in El Salvador, saying that because of global warming, their tomato crop is failing as well. And again, they can't feed their family. And this is the reason why people are rushing to this country, and it's all conservatives' fault.
You know, here's what's crazy. You know, James, when I go to the grocery store and I sometimes go to Whole Foods just to see how the left is doing. And I want to see my Birkenstock wearing friends in aisle number three. But they have this thing called hothouse tomatoes. You ever seen those?
Oh, yes, indeed.
So hothouse tomatoes, aren't those tomatoes that benefit from a tremendous amount of heat and water because they grow fast and they grow plump and they grow sweet? And so how would global warming negatively impact a tomato crop? Just help me out here. I'm having a little problem with the short math.
Well, that's a good question. And also more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere assists in plant growth.
Right.
Well, what I did is I went to the United States Department of Agriculture and found some data on global coffee production. And what I found is that for each of the past 3 years, new records have been set in coffee production in Central America and throughout the world.
Really?
Exactly. And then at the same time, I looked up data for tomatoes. And the same thing has happened where each of the past 3 years, the 3 years with the greatest tomato crop production on record have been during the past 3 years.
Well, interesting that you mentioned that, because I want to shift the focus, because I've done research on corn, beans, and wheat in North America, the United States, and Canada. And over the last 5 years, we've set something like 3-4 years in a row, the greatest yield of corn, soybeans, and wheat, 3 consecutive years in a row. I think it was 15, 16, 17. 2018, we'll see how it shapes up. I mean, a little bit of drought and so forth could set the records aside for this year, but they set records 3 consecutive years for production of food crops and food grains. I mean, how in the world can these people sit here and say, oh, the world's going to die, it's all going to be awful? And think about this, James. If you extended the growing season by 2 weeks or 3 weeks in places like Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, the prairie provinces of Canada, you would produce so many grain crops, it would be you wouldn't know what to do with them all.
Absolutely, and extending growing seasons is a big factor for example, for corn, for wheat, et cetera. And in Central America and throughout the world, you also have an increase in global soil moisture. There has been an increase in precipitation. The media would have you believe that global warming is causing more droughts, but the objective data shows that we're seeing more rainfall, better soil moisture.
But James, I think you're missing it.
Helps as well.
I do think you're missing the bigger picture and the important picture, which is there is no way possible that Al Gore could have been worth $500 million without global warming. You know, he went from being worth $1.5 million when he left the vice presidency to being worth close to $500 million today. Yeah, come on, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due, James. I think you're being, you know, a little flippant about that.
There you go. But I think the point of the article is that the media will make up these false claims, try to blame anything in the world on global warming.
But why?
If it's an issue that they can try to flip on conservatives and score their political points on behalf of the environmental left.
But my question is why? What does a journalist gain? Because, you know, I'm not a journalist anymore. I'm a commentator. But I spent, you know, 12 or 14 years working in the news industry, the last several of those years for NBC News directly. You know, and I didn't go out and make things up because I thought it was a more sexy story. In fact, I would have lost my job for that, rightfully so. So why do these journalists, what is the end game here? Why do they go out and become these activists? They're fiction writers, oftentimes. You know that, so do I. That's why you see so many retractions at the New York Times and Time Magazine and Newsweek and CNN. They don't just get things wrong. They do that as well, but they go out and they flat out fabricate stories from a variety of topics. And my question, my persistent nagging question is why? To what end?
Well, I imagine that, as you're aware, the media tends politically extremely to the left, and this fits the narrative.
Yeah, but mathematics is not political in nature. It shouldn't be. Math is math. Crops grow, crops don't grow. It rains, it doesn't rain. It gets a bit warmer, more crops grow, and they grow bigger and stronger and feed more people. I mean, here's the thing. You think the kid in Africa who would otherwise be starving cares whether or not the rice in his bowl is a GMO? Of course not. He's having lunch. He doesn't give a rat's behind about whether it's a GMO or a non-GMO. He's glad that people at Michigan State and Texas A&M created a rice product that could grow in drought conditions, and so therefore he could have lunch. That would be my guess. Crazy, right?
Well, I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah, I just don't understand why the journalists, yes, they're left-leaning, but I don't, you're right, and maybe I'm being a bit rhetorical here, but good God, they'll just lie about anything, won't they?
Oh, they do that when it fits their means and fits their ends. They certainly will.
And so
he has just checked the facts.
Sure. And so, I mean, what are some of the more egregious things that they're lying about?
Well, for example, this is summer, and summer brings warm temperatures.
It does.
The media has just been, yeah, there you go. Go figure. I mean, maybe it didn't used to happen before global warming. At least that's what the media would have us believe.
No.
But there's been a rash of stories trying to blame summer temperatures on global warming and describe it as an apocalypse. But I looked at the data, and I presented an article on this as well. Showing that for all the hyperbole about this summer's heat, last summer was warmer than this summer. The summer before that was warmer than either of these two. Actually, it's not that this summer's cooler than it's been in the past few years.
Yeah.
But it just so happens temperature can vary regionally. And this summer, it just happens that high-pressure systems have brought heat to the population centers of the U.S. Northeast. So therefore, the media can go into a full-blown meltdown about it.
Right.
In reality, the globe is cooler this year than last year.
And you're missing the one other big hysterical media story that they cover are the forest fires of California, as if there's never been forest fires. You know, there was a forest fire in 1881 that burned 1 million acres, more than 1 million acres, in a single day in Michigan. You know, people need to do their research. They need to understand these things. There was a fire in 1871 that killed 800 people in a single day in Michigan and Wisconsin. Massive forest fires, far larger than they have today. At any rate, James Taylor, well done. Great job. Greatly appreciated from the Heartland Institute, as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you have it. I might be a touch sarcastic today. It's all right. Give me some more coffee. It'll only get worse. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Yeah!